Hey everyone, welcome back to the Your Money Your Life podcast. We are on episode 214 of the podcast. So thank you for listening. Wherever you're listening, make sure you like, subscribe, 5-star rate and review the pod. We always get that message before we get into it. If you're watching on YouTube, do the same thing, leave comments, hit the notification bell. Let's get into it. First and foremost, let's talk about the market and what we're seeing so far in the market. We'll pull up our chart like we always do. And get into a little bit of the market talk. S&P 500 over the past 5 days, roughly flat. So we had a couple of interesting volatility days. So we had a day where we saw a little bit of a dip, and then we recovered a little bit yesterday, and we're seeing futures so far today slightly up after the Fed commentary yesterday. So that's the big thing. Let's dive into exactly what was said, or exactly more about the actual markets itself. Again, big bank stuff is happening. New York Community Bancorp, they had volatile trading. Their stock tumbled 40%, but then finished with a 7.5% gain because they announced a $1 billion capital raise. Interesting. I'm actually curious who was the investors in this capital raise, so let's dig into it. Several investors for even including Steve Munchin's Liberty Strategic Capital, Hudson Bay Capital, Reverence Capital Partners. They're doing $1 billion to kind of save and buoy this bank. Again, New York Community Bank, these regional banks, remember back a little bit ago, they were having a lot of issues when it came to liquidity, capital, interest rates. And so a lot of these banks were struggling. And so they got bailed out pretty much by private investment companies pretty much. And so they got bailed out. So the stock recovered after, you know, really just catering during the trading day. It actually recovered and ended up on highs because other people were willing to step in and buoy this bank. So that's what a little bit of what's going on when it comes to the banks. We're looking at other, you know, tech and different things trading. Again, we have a testimony from Powell, and he indicated that the policy rate is at its peak for the tightening cycle. He reinforced, so this is Jerome Powell, the Fed chair. He said that they're really not ready to begin reducing rates, but he did say that it'll probably happen sometime this year. They're not ready yet, but it'll probably happen sometime this year. So the market was digesting that information and seeing what would happen, you know, really if they do. And so let's go to five things we should know before the market opens. One, the major indexes are showing a little bit more volatility, and that's something we've said. Move with caution. Again, Jerome Powell says they don't plan to cut rates anytime soon, but it should start to come down this year. But he can't give a precise timeline until he sees more data before taking action. And so we get data every month, every week sometimes in some cases. So we'll be watching that very, very closely. And you also see here the New York Community Bank information that we just talked about, Microsoft Copilot, AI tool as well. So there's a lot going on in the markets that we're keeping our eye on, of course. So we talked about the New York Community Bank with the $1 billion from investors. Let's see. Fed still sees a rate cut this year. It's another the story we also talked about. So Jerome Powell, again, he's speaking, I think, today. He spoke yesterday. And again, he said that as he spoke with the House panel, he reiterated his marks that, you know, a slowdown in price growth over the past year was notable. So inflation has slowed down. It's been a notable slowdown, but it's not near its target, their target yet. And so that's going to be the linchpin, as well as jobs. And that's the other linchpin, the strength of the job market. Those are two huge areas that we're watching. So keep an eye on those things very, very closely. Let's dig into other current news and events. Actually, I haven't even looked at these stories yet. So Crypto Hub Nigeria reportedly demands $10 billion from Binance after its currency bludgeons. Interesting. So a Nigerian currency after the halted transactions, after the country's officials reported demanding $10 billion in compensation for the world's largest crypto exchange and arrested two of its visiting execs. Okay, so two Binance execs, which is Binance's crypto trading platform, are arrested in Nigeria Nigeria is Africa's largest economy and a major crypto hub. And they accuse Binance of price fixing practices that said it plunged its currency. So they're pretty much saying the Naira, which is the Nigerian currency, has plunged because of crypto. people are using crypto, no one is using the Naira, so the value of the Naira plunging. Since last summer, the Naira has lost 70% of its value. The government also argues that Binance acts as a gateway for bad actors to launder money and finance terror. So Nigeria wants an audience with Binance CEO Richard Tang, who was hastily promoted to the role after founder Champen Zhao pleaded guilty to money laundering charges in the US. So a lot going on there. This is kind of interesting. Okay, so they arrested two execs. They said that the value of their currency plunged. Yeah, that's interesting. Like, so they've suspended other platforms like Coinbase and Kraken and other crypto exchanges. So it's interesting. We'll see again with crypto back at all times highs. We'll see if other, you know, whether it's currencies or governments or areas or countries are going to start to try to squash this. But again, it can't be squashed. It's immutable. It's not something that you can change, squash. And so this is really going to be a tough thing for currency, or for, excuse me, for countries and governments to navigate, because they're just going to have to play alongside and figure out ways how they could integrate this into their economic system versus try to squash things. Yeah, there's going to be a lot more talk about crypto now. Again, we said not at highs, buying at lows, and that's, you know, kind of proven strategy to be correct again. Miss. The average FICO credit score of a U.S. adult fell last year for the first time in more than a decade. Creditworthiness took a hit as Americans struggled with repaying high credit card debt. So that's interesting enough. Like, again, if you have high credit card debt, there's tools and things you can use to try to get, you know, that paid off. But another thing is to remember is income is the biggest tool that you can have in that regard. Target sales fell for the first time in nearly 8 years. Wow. So Target sales, fell for the first time in 8 years. So the sales forecast was for the year was it seemed like strong, because the stock popped 12% after they reported higher profit, courtesy of a few discounts and lower costs. But they are saying that their shoppers trimmed spending on discretionary goodies. So spending on electronics, housing goods boomed during the pandemic, but now they're saying it's slowing down. So again, it's the stock went up because of the profits, but they're saying that their sales are slowing because of what's going on economically, people spending a little bit less here. So that's interesting enough to keep our eyes on. Let's see. We're looking through stories and trying to find the best. Unified 10K Minnesotas from unions repping teachers, janitors, and corporate workers plan to strike this week and next for better pay and benefits. Last year saw the most UX strikes in over a decade. Remember, there was so many strikes that we talked about on the pod year or week after week. So I guess it's still going in 2024. Shout out to Minnesota, my home state. Now they're going to strike potentially union repping teachers, janitors, corporate workers. And that's going to be something that they plan to do very, very soon. If not already in it. Back to the day, of course, we saw the Bitcoin hit highs again. We've said that it's going to keep going higher. People just want to know where it's going to go. We're long-term investors. We're not a trader, day traders. So that's something we've always talked about. Let's see what other interesting stories were there this week. I think we hit the majority of them. CBD loses its ingredient status as its scattered regulation hinders biz growth. Interesting enough. Yeah, that looks to be the main stories this week. Again, that's an interesting fact. 2 million bikes are stolen each year in North America, costing cyclists 1 billion. Man, I would be mad if my bike was stolen. 2 million bikes stolen each year? Who's taking those bikes? So that's the main stuff we have. Let's jump into a couple questions of the week. I thought there was a couple fun ones. So we'll dive into those and take a look into our questions of the week and how we are going about them. Let's see. First one we have is, I thought, an interesting one. It's for Women's History Month, which I guess is March. I did not know that. So let's see. We're gonna match CEOs with the current lead, with company they currently lead. So I'll have to see it when I reveal the answer. But if you're out there, you could try to think to yourself and know if you know. Again, this is your S&P 500 company, so obviously large public companies. Name. I'm gonna name this company, and or I can name the name of the individual and see if you know. First company is Gap. I have no clue who is that one. Who leads Gap? Who is the CEO of Gap? It's Mary Barra. Interesting. Never knew that. Best Buy. I actually kind of knew that one because Best Buy is based in Minnesota, and I knew it was a female CEO, but I forget her name at this point. Sonia Singel. Awesome. AMD is led by a woman. Advanced Micro Devices. Who leads that? And it has to see Corey Barry, another woman leading this S&P 500 company. General Motors, led by Lisa Su. So how many of those did you get? They were tough, but that's a good little reminder that anyone who's talented can do what they need to do. Another question, we're going to move into home buying. How many days does the average home buying process take? You may have had a 30-day close, but how long does the home buying take end to end? I would say a few months, 2 to 3 months, maybe. Oh, answers between 200 and 245 days. I think 6.5 months to over 6 months. Why do you think the home buying takes that long? Finding an agent, getting pre-approval, house hunting, making an offer, get a mortgage. Yeah, that's a lot of stuff. So they're saying the finding agent takes 7 days a week. Get a pre-approval, 8 to 10 days. House hunting, 4 to 5 months. I guess it's just like, when are you doing the house hunting? So if you're already doing that process, that seems to be the longest of them. Then you're in good shape. Make an offer, 5 days, get a mortgage, and close on the house 40 to 50 days. So they're saying it's a good half a year process, which could make sense, how long you stretch out that process. What's the average price of a house in the US? I think it's roughly $400,000 or something like that. Oh, now it's a little bit up. Answer is $511,000. It rose a lot. 2022 was a lot higher. It did dip in 2023. It'll probably dip a little bit here in 2024, or stabilize. So, interesting enough, we had some good questions of the question of the week. Again, if you're tapped in on YouTube, podcast, anywhere, just make sure you stay tapped in. We have a lot of exciting stuff coming up. So please, please stay connected with us, and we will see you next week.